introduce your special guest for me.
Thank you. So, yeah, I do have two very special guests. I've got Ben Shah and Helen Kakis. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
No, it's great to have you guys here. So, look, to start things off, how about you tell me a little bit about yourself? So, starting with Ben.
Sure. I have a partner, Kathy, and we have two daughters, Eva and Micah, who are 8 and 6. I work as a social worker. I work in the correctional setting. And I came to be involved in the charity we're about to talk about through Family Connections, but I'm sure we'll talk about that more in a bit. So that's really briefly just a bit about me.
And Helen?
Yeah, I'm married with a wonderful husband, George, and two beautiful children. My daughter's 17, Evelyn, and my son is 13. I actually am in the health industry as well. I'm a scientist by nature, but I'm involved as a medical specialist rep in the hospital environment. And my connection to this is my parents immigrated to Australia from Syria in the 60s and made a life for us here in this country, this beautiful country of ours.
So, of course, what we're talking about here is something called the Hope Charitable Foundation. And both Helen and Ben are on the board for the Hope Charitable Foundation. Now, first off, I want to say that I do have a conflict of interest here because I'm related to half of them. the board, that is. So that's how I came to know about the Hope Charitable Foundation. So how about you guys tell me a little bit about the Hope Charitable Foundation?
Yeah, sure. So I guess, really, really briefly, we're a project-based charity. So our focus is looking at what needs there are, and then coming up, developing projects that target those particular areas. And we develop those projects by working with communities, building partnerships with other individuals and organisations that have the skills and expertise in that particular field. And we also support it by fundraising to raise funds to support those projects. So that's broadly what we do. But, yeah, I guess the story of how we started is probably quite an interesting one.
Yeah. Actually, because a lot of the people within our family are either Syrians that have immigrated and obviously we're offsprings of first generation, what happened was in September 2014, one of the directors, Yvonne Shahold's mother, Auntie Hiem Shahold, started things off when she had a suggestion of wanting to raise money through a barbecue picnic. For the people living in some of the Syrian villages, and because she has sisters and so on and brothers within the town of Safita near the Mediterranean Sea, we had a very successful barbecue which raised over $2,000, and it went to a specific person in that village, and that person went around to all the people that are of need, particularly the elderly, because they don't have the healthcare system like we do in Australia. We're a very fortunate country. So this lovely lady received the money, distributed it for any food, medicine and so on. And from this, because it was so successful, the two of the cousins, Yvonne Shahold, her daughter, and her cousin, Michael Tabir, who's also my cousin, both wanted to take more of an active, yes, it's sort of keep it in the family, active role in getting something ongoing happening in the response to the Syrian crisis. So they both decided to create a charitable foundation, and from there they brought together four other like-minded people to form a committee, and from there Hope was born. And Hope became a registered charity in July 2015. So we've all been touched somehow, because I have got a lot of family there. I've got actually 66 first cousins, and about 45 of them are there. And we still have aunties and uncles, and so does everyone on that particular committee. So that's where it all started.
So looking at the Syrian crisis, I mean, I hear it on the TV and the radio all the time, but until I met you guys and actually started looking into it more, I didn't know the scope of how big a crisis this is. And the UN as well have said that this is the biggest issue that they've come up against in all of their time, and it's going to cost the most amount of money to try and address these issues. But in particular, when I was looking at it, there's 4.7 million Syrian refugees that have been dispersed into neighbouring countries.
Yeah.
So yes. In Lebanon, it's one in five people is actually a Syrian refugee.
That's correct.
Which, that's staggering.
Yeah.
And then there are 11 million people who are internally displaced. Mm. And considering there's a population of about 22.8 million, that's 48% of their population who have lost their homes.
Yeah. That's right.
And if you look at that in Australia, imagine half of Australians losing their homes. It's really staggering. I mean, that just surprised me. So you obviously got family living there. Mm-hmm. What is it like for them at the moment?
Well, I do have a lot of contact with a lot of relatives ongoing, and sometimes, I mean, for example, you ring them and they say, look, we're okay, everything's okay, but then this other side of it comes out. For example, medicines are expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, they always base it on a kilo of meat. Everything is around this 1 kilo of meat. It used to cost this much and now it's cost this much. So inflation is horrendous. And, you know, these people are pretty much earning around the $100 a month, which is, for us, is pittance. But for them, it's a lot of money. And because of inflation, it's probably worth about 10,000 liras or 20,000 liras a month now, depending on what the dollar conversion is. So they are struggling, and in fact, another time, the war is part of their life. Another time I was Skyping one of my cousin's wives and I heard some gunfire in the background. And I said, what is going on? Your town's not affected. And she goes, oh no, they're now bringing back another dead soldier. So this is... This is the, I suppose, the extreme of war. This is what they're dealing with. This is what they're living with. I suspect there's a lot of depression at the same time because they can't go anywhere. Roads are dangerous. Just to go from, say, Safita to Damascus is a three-hour trip. It's actually quite a dangerous trip to take. So they are very miserable, but they'll just keep face all the time.
So the Hope Charitable Foundation, of course, is trying to do something.
Yes.
So what is it exactly that you guys are trying to do in relation to this?
So so I guess the Syria is what kind of brought us together. You know, one, because we all have some kind of family connection with each other, but also with Syria. But I'm not Syrian. My partner, you know, her grandparents came from Syria in the 50s. So there's a connection there, and, you know, it's part of my children's heritage. So we've all got that tie to Syria. And so the coming together of the charity is really based around that. However, it's not our sole focus. Mm-hmm. But at this point, what we've been trying to do is, how can we support people on the ground in Syria? What we found so far is it's been incredibly challenging. You know, as we mentioned, we're very new. So we've just begun, and we're learning a lot as we go. I think we always knew it was going to be hard going from the outset, but I didn't think we realised just how challenging it would be. I think we thought, because we had some connections in Syria, we might be in a better place to be able to take some action. Mm-hmm. But at every kind of turn we've taken, we've kind of been met with a roadblock. Mm-hmm. So it's been tough, and it's just still a work in progress. But I think what we've got going for us is that, as a board, we're very passionate people, you know, and we're passionate about Syria, we're passionate about the people of Syria. And we're passionate more broadly about, you know, about social justice and about supporting people that are in really tough spots. So we've really got that going for us. Mm-hmm. I think the other part is that, because we're all volunteers, we're in that fortunate position in this charitable foundation that whatever we raise, we can put straight into projects.
Mm, yes,
we
don't 100%.
We don't have the burden of overheads.
Can I just ask a question in relation to that? Because you are setting up, and fantastic, congratulations for what you want to do. How are you going to make sure that whatever you get here, whether it be monies or whatever you're looking for, will actually be put to use over there? Because it worries me sometimes that the fantastic work is done, but how many on the ground actually receive the charity? Is that a massive challenge to you?
It is a challenge, Dave, and this is exactly why we have these barriers, because we've got to consider the safety of the people on the other side.
Sure.
A couple of years ago, it would have been easy to send $2,000 and help those people in the villages, but sending money across now is more difficult because people are watching. From Australia, and there has been issues in another state in this country where there was a charity set up and funds were going across and they were not going across to the correct people. So it is a big challenge, and so we are brainstorming ideas at the moment, so it's not exactly clean cut. However, if people have any other ideas, it would be fantastic for them to go to our website, www.hopecharitablefoundation.org.au, put in some comments, and perhaps they can think of something that we're missing. So it is a big challenge, and we are working on it.
Now, in relation to that as well, you started out with this global focus, and then you realise that there's also stuff that you can be doing locally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was an acknowledgement of the board that although there's, you know, there's horrendous things happening in Syria and other parts of the world, which obviously deserve our attention and and for us to come up with creative ways of being able to make a difference in those places. But there's also people within our own communities that are displaced, homeless, faced with a whole bunch of other challenges. And so that kind of led us to forming a partnership with the Hutt Street Centre, which is quite new. It's only a few weeks old. So we're starting some work there in a few weeks' time on a shower refurbishment. So they have a shower facility there for people challenged by homelessness who access the centre after hours in crisis. So we've taken on that project. So that's quite exciting for us. It's kind of our first major project.
Now, I understand there are some issues with the shower facilities that they currently are, that people either can't access them or can't use them. So
a lot of people are familiar with Hutt Street Centre. They've been around a long time and do amazing work. A lot of people know them for their day centre, and they serve something between 50 to 55,000 meals a year. But they also offer, you know, a place for people to shower, to store their belongings. They also do case management, because as we know, people challenged by homelessness also face, you know, numerous other challenges as well in their life. So they do some important work there. They also have an outreach service, among other things. So there's quite a lot that they do. The current, you know, Hutt Street are working within the confines of the building that they've got and the resources they've got, and the shower facility they have during the day can't be accessed at night time. So they have a separate facility for clients that need that in emergencies. And so that's why, it really needs some refurbishment quickly.
Now, of course,
Kristen, I will come in there because we must do a couple of sponsors' cards. The time is 20 minutes past 10. I'll be back shortly with our guests in the segment with Kristen Carson.
Are you sick and tired of waiting by the phone for your next sale to come in? Then be proactive and promote and build your business on community radio. Coast FM will help you achieve that without breaking the bank. Together, we can package a promo that will suit your business. I'm sure you'll be pleasantly surprised. Call me, Nick Malerba, on 0400 837 122.
Turn back the hands of time with Barry Gower every Friday between 9 a.m. and 12.
This is Adelaide's 88.7 Coast FM.
And you've just joined us. Good morning. My name is Dave Hearn. I'm taking you on Thursday Coast Magazine story right through till 12 o'clock today. And my special guest is Kristen Carson. Dr. Kristen Carson, and we're talking about charity work. And Kristen, back to you.
Yeah, thank you. So I've got two special guests here from the Hope Charitable Foundation. We've got Ben and Helen. And we're just talking about the project that they're now doing with the Hutt Street Shelter and doing the shower facility. And so, of course, one of the benefits of the board that you've got with the Hope Charitable Foundation is that Michael Tobia is one of the founding partners.
Yes.
And he actually owns Michael Tobia Constructions. So being a builder, he's perfectly placed to be able to help with the shower refurbishment.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he's drawing on the generosity of trades that he knows well and has worked with over many years, and also some of suppliers as well. So we've been able to make some savings there. And then we're also, you know, fundraising to cover that gap. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question also? Have you thought about down the track of we're getting refugees coming into Australia, particularly to South Australia? We'll just hone in on that. I'm not sure whether you could hear me. Are they looking at having... we're going to be getting a number of Syrian refugees? And if that is happening, do you perceive work there as well?
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility, and it's on our radar.
Yeah.
I think originally when the government committed to 12,000, to taking on 12,000 refugees, I think 800 were considered for Adelaide. There's been really slow progress on that, unfortunately, particularly compared to other countries. So we're sort of staying tuned. There's other organisations that have the contract to be able to provide the support for resettlement. But, yeah, no doubt there's going to be gaps, so we're certainly keeping an eye out for where we might be able to pick up on one of those gaps and target that with a project.
The other benefit on with the committee members are we have Diala Baba, who is actually a Syrian refugee and is obviously another relation.
Yeah.
And she has a lot of experience from coming to this, from going from where she's escaping from Assyria, coming into Australia and settling in South Australia with her family. And she's been using the Migrant Resource Centre since they've settled here, and that's been an opportunity. So something locally that we can do to help these people would be very opportune. And we're getting our ideas from her as well on settling here. Now, this family's all got jobs and they're giving back to the community and it's been very satisfactory.
To me, it would be, I don't know, you can't even feel what these people would actually feel when they arrive in Australia. They've come from hell. Let's be realistic.
Absolutely.
And be coming to a country like Australia, which is hopefully always stays free and open and we can talk,
Absolutely. You
know, that way. To be able to settle, it must be a heck of a challenge, and they would rely on relatives or charities to help them a lot, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they face a huge amount of challenges, and I think on top of that, dealing with the trauma of what they've experienced back in Syria, on top of the other challenges of trying to resettle in a new place, in a new culture, not necessarily knowing the language and the customs and... So there's lots of layers of challenges, absolutely.
Absolutely.
If you think that 50% of these refugees are children as well.
Yes, it's a really important point.
It's a very important point.
And just I think I was reading something recently about the impact that the Syrian crisis has had on education in Syria, and I think they're estimating that it's meant Syria's gone back 10 years in terms of the progress they've made around education. So it's, kids are hugely affected, not just on experiencing war and violence and the atrocities that go with that, but also missing out on education and future opportunities.
With people that are listening and this new challenge you're taking on, I guess it all revolves around how much help you can get. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah. So obviously we really welcome donations, and the way that our website's set up is people can choose how they'd like to support us. Mm. So if they'd like to just to donate generally to Hope Charitable Foundation and we can distribute the funds where it's most needed at the time, or you can choose a particular project. So at the moment we've got the Syria project, although that's an ongoing project that we're still working out, and we encourage people to follow us on Facebook and keep updated.
We'd love the people that are on Facebook to actually like the Facebook page and our website, www.hopecharitablefoundation.org.au. It gives you a bit of an insight of what we're hoping to do. But at the moment, our current fundraiser is the 2013 Shiraz, which was bottled and produced at Tilbrook, and all those procedures going to the Syrian project. Now, this was all done by volunteers. There's actually pictures on the website of the days that leading up to the labelling and so on. It's a lovely wine. It's valued at $264 a case, but you can purchase a dozen for only $140. If you have any questions or any information that you would like about the charity, you can go onto our contacts page on the website and use the online inquiry form to express your interest, and we'll be in touch to arrange delivery and so on, especially of the wines. We welcome donations. As Ben was mentioning, you've got different allotments and you can actually choose where you would like the money to go. So there are other projects that we are looking into as well, but we are going to be looking at some up-and-coming fundraisers, so please keep an eye on our website or Facebook, and we're looking at probably bowling to be our big one coming up for the Hutt Street project, so dates to be confirmed.
Doing any charitable work, I guess, Kristen, you see a lot of it, through what you do as well with your great work, is a challenge in itself. To set up a new charitable foundation must be a real challenge in its way.
What these guys have done is just a feat in itself. So, you know, congratulations for the work that you've already done in setting up this charity. Mm. And, yeah, I think it's really amazing times ahead with what you're doing as well.
Because you will get questioned, won't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, people are, I think, become more defensive of where their money goes or whatever they do these days.
Yeah.
What about volunteers? Do you want people to work with you at this point of time? And what would they do and how could they contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. We already have a small pool of volunteers who have supported us so far, particularly around the wine fundraiser in bottling and labelling and delivering that wine. But yeah, as we expand into more fundraising and we're also drawing on volunteers with the shower refurbishment, which is excellent. But yes, onto our website, to the contacts page, send us a message. We'd love to hear from you. And we're also interested in people or organisations that want to look at partnering. Mm. I think, you know, I was struck by what you were saying before, Dave, about, you know, just reflecting on Kristen's experiences of, you know, on the one hand, she's got this important research work to be doing, but is tied up in the paperwork of funding and trying to gain more funding to keep the research going.
Yeah.
And I think charities are also restricted by similar kind of funding challenges and spend a lot of time trying to get grants and get money, which takes up takes the time away from doing the actual work. So I guess what part of our role is when we're partnering with charities, we can take a portion of that work away from them and we can take that on and save them time and so they can use their skills and expertise where it's most needed.
So that's an important point because you actually have partnered with a charity already, being MOVE, which is to build a well in Zambia.
Mm.
Yeah, so MOVE do some amazing work and although water security is one of their focuses, they're also they also focus on, you know, child protection and sort of and medical centres, and I think ultimately what they try and do is draw upon skilled people, Australians who have skills and expertise that they can offer in Zambia, and they go over to some of the impoverished communities in the Western Province. And what they're trying to do is empower communities. So it's not just about coming in and doing a project and leaving, but it's about doing some work that can be sustainable. And so we're really excited about forming a partnership with them, and we're currently in conversations about what that project might look like, and that's based on feedback we're getting from the community about what they most need at this point in time.
Hmm. Well, I think you've got a real challenge in front of you. Congratulations
sure
to you and your group that are trying very hard to set this up and make it a real working charitable foundation. And
thank
I'm
you.
Sure you will do well because passion is there, and I love passion, I can tell you.
Yeah.
I really believe in passion. But best wishes to you, and
thanks
for coming and being part of Kristen's segment. It's been very enjoyable.
Thank you for having us.
And I'm sure over time, because Kristen will be with me for quite a long time, hopefully, that you know, we'll be able to keep in touch and see how everything's going.
Fantastic.
So it's
thank
been
you.
Great. To you, Kristen, thank you
for
bringing us guests in, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next month here at 88.7.